Good morning. Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of the Word of God that we shall read and consider this morning, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in St. John chapter 6, verses 60 through 69, where we read as follows, in Jesus' name. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." Let us pray. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. If all the church growth experts were to judge our Lord's ministry, they would surely judge him to be a failure. We saw as we began this series of sermons how the crowd persisted in following Jesus, giving him no peace, as literally thousands of people wanted what he had to give, health and food. And now today, as we conclude this chapter, we see the same crowd leaving him, offended, turned off, unable to accept his word. We are told today by so-called church growth experts how to present the gospel in a user-friendly fashion so that no one is needlessly offended, yet it almost seems as if Jesus went out of his way to offend his followers. First, he chides them for caring more about feeding their bodies than their souls. Then he offends them by claiming to be the bread of life who came down from heaven when they know perfectly well that he grew up in Nazareth and that his parents were Joseph and Mary. Then he makes matters worse by using the most graphic language possible to make the very radical claim that no one can possibly find eternal life except through faith in his flesh and blood. Jesus put it this way, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." They didn't like it. "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Literally, who can hear it? Surely Jesus had good reason to speak as strongly, as bluntly as he did. It wasn't because he wanted to drive people away. He's the one who said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And yet he drove his disciples away. Why? Was it because they didn't understand him? After all, it does sound rather strange to hear about eating the flesh and drinking the blood of Jesus. Did Jesus turn them off by confusing them? Were they thinking of a physical eating and drinking while Jesus was talking about a spiritual eating and drinking? Did they leave him because they didn't understand him? I don't think so. They left him because they did understand him. Folks have argued for centuries about the exact meaning of "eat my flesh and drink my blood." Some have insisted this refers to the Lord's Supper. Others have argued that eating his flesh and drinking his blood means to receive Christ's flesh and blood by faith. The one view doesn't necessarily exclude the other, and there's certainly no doubt that we do eat Christ's flesh and drink his blood in the Lord's Supper. But it's hard to make Jesus' words in John 6 refer directly to the Lord's Supper for a number of reasons. One is that Jesus hadn't instituted the Lord's Supper when he gave this sermon. Another is that Jesus says, if you don't eat his flesh and drink his blood, you have no life in you. If he is talking about the Lord's Supper, he would be saying that little children who don't go to communion have no life in them. But Jesus says just the opposite when he talks about the little ones who believe in him. Another reason we don't interpret these words to refer directly to the Lord's Supper is that Jesus says that everyone who eats his flesh and drinks his blood has eternal life. But in the Lord's Supper, there may be those who eat and drink his body and blood without faith, and they do not receive eternal life. They eat and drink to their own judgment. But all who receive Christ's flesh and blood by faith do have eternal life. But back to those whom Jesus offended. Were they offended simply because his words are so hard to understand? But they did not say, this is a hard teaching, who can understand it? They said, this is a hard teaching, who can hear it? Who can accept it? Here's what offended them. When Jesus said, the Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing, he offended them deeply. Their pride is what would not let them believe in Jesus, because Jesus was telling them that their flesh, that means they, according to their natural human powers, their flesh, could do nothing at all to gain spiritual eternal life with God. Jesus offers his flesh and blood, and that is life. The Spirit gives life. No one can come to Jesus unless the Father has enabled him, and the flesh counts for nothing. What does this all mean? It means that God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, gives us eternal life, and we can do nothing but receive what he gives. It means that should we try to add something of our own, we're simply helpless to do so. It means that we must, if we are to find life, reject all human wisdom, strength, philosophy, and reason, and listen only to the words of Jesus, for his words are spirit, and they are life. But this is what we in our pride don't want to do. The people abandoned Jesus because they understood enough of what he was saying to be offended. They didn't leave him because they didn't understand him. They left him because they did understand him. They understood that they must be nothing and that God's grace must be everything. We need to be fed. The food, Christ's flesh and blood. The words which give us this food are Jesus' words. But people don't want to be fed by Jesus. Oh, they are willing to make a decision for Jesus, surrender their life to him, commit themselves, dedicate themselves, but they don't want to be fed. Because when you decide, surrender, commit, and dedicate, you can always take some credit by trusting in your own decision, commitment, and dedication. But when you are fed, you can take credit for nothing at all, and you can only trust in the food you receive. It is difficult to watch the humiliation loved ones endure when they lose their ability to take care of themselves and must be changed and fed as when they were babies. Well, it is spiritually humiliating to admit that your flesh counts for nothing, that is, that your holiest and highest deeds, your most noble efforts, your most pious prayers, all of it counts for nothing, and you must be fed the words of Christ so that these words will bring you true spiritual life which your flesh cannot get for you. Those words of Jesus that are spirit and life are the teaching of Jesus that we learned from the Catechism. It's the teaching that we teach to our children. And it is first of all essential that those who feed the children be fed. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. These words of Jesus, his teaching, his Christian doctrine, are not just abstract truths which we learn by rote and faithfully parrot. These are the very words that impart life to us. There is no Christian faith and life except through the words of Jesus. And that is why, for those who teach children, there's nothing more important than the continuous receiving of the pure Christian doctrine. What do education experts know? They talk about student-affirming, self-esteem-enhancing exercises. What do you have? You don't have anything. There's no spirit there. There's no life there. If you want to be a teacher of children, your first love must be the words of Jesus, the pure teachings summed up in the Catechism. Those are the words that will help you teach children. We have nothing to give, nothing to feed, unless we are fed. We are empty, hungry, and without hope until we are fed. And then the words of Jesus convey to us his flesh and blood. Then in our emptiness and hunger and hopelessness comes the living flesh and blood of God, coming to cover the sins of our flesh, coming to destroy, to kill our flesh, coming to give us new life, new birth, new hope. The words of Jesus bring the crucifixion of Jesus to us here and now. The words of Jesus place us at the empty tomb and guarantee our own resurrection. The words of Jesus drive doubt out of our minds and replace it with faith in the flesh and blood of our God and brother Jesus. The words of Jesus forgive us. They give us life. And that is why it is from eating and drinking the words of Jesus that we are competent to feed the sheep and the lambs entrusted from our care. It is from our receiving that we can give. When we teach children, discipline them, encourage them, there must first be in our hearts and minds the underlying reality that governs everything we do. And that is that we and those that we teach are covered by the grace of God. We should have that humility of the sinner who claims no goodness of his own. Our love must be that of the sinner who is forgiven of his sins entirely by God's grace. Our authority is solely the authority of the Word of God. We have the words of eternal life, and we give these words of eternal life. And just as surely as the words of eternal life bring Christ's flesh and blood to us, those words bring Christ's flesh and blood to our children when we teach them the Word of God. What did St. Peter say? When Jesus asked if they were going to leave him as well, he said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And that's what we have. That's what we pass on. And that is a wonderful privilege to do. Amen. It is my privilege to bring these messages to you every Sunday on this station and on the website, christforus.org. I encourage you to go to the website, www.christforus.org, click on the front page, and you can find a link there where you can order a volume of sermons that were preached on this broadcast sometime in the past, arranged according to the Catechism. And you'll find it a handy reference for you. We're happy to bring this broadcast to you every Sunday. It's brought to you by St. John Lutheran Church in Fairview and Trinity Lutheran Church in Sydney. We'd like to invite you to attend services at our parish Sunday morning at 8:30 at Fairview, at 10 o'clock at Sydney, and beginning on the 10th of September, it'll be at 10:45 at Trinity in Sydney. Please tune in next Sunday for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.